Hey there, everyone. I got a bit confused with the buttons there. Took myself in, took myself out. You take one leg in, you take the left right out, whatever. You do the hokey pokey, the whole thing. I was doing it right now. But anyways, guys, this is a very, very early stream. Normally, we're not on at this time. Normally, I'm on at around 8 p.m. But today, there are a couple of factors that are affecting the time of the stream. First and foremost, AEW Rampage today was preempted till 2:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So super early for those people in the West Coast. Right now for me, it's barely 3:30 p.m. So it's still like midday. So it feels super weird doing a post show at this hour. But for the most part, I mean, it's okay. We did it last week. I thought it was perfectly fine. And now here we are doing it again. It feels a little bit different this week. I think last week it kind of felt a little bit more exciting because it was like, oh, let's see how it's going to be. And then this week, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. It's on at 2:30 again. Let's do this. Alrighty. And then also the other thing that is affecting today's stream is that I immediately, like after this, I'm flying out to Houston. So I'm not going to be here to be able to watch SmackDown or do the SmackDown post show. Cause again, I got to fly out to Houston for Mission Pro Wrestling. So it's going to be, it's been a busy day. I was supposed to leave a lot earlier, but already I've been dealing with like flight delays and my flight was supposed to leave like 4 hours earlier. And now it's leaving 4 hours later. So already dealing with some flight delays and issues and all of that sort of deal. But now let's go ahead and get into this episode of AEW Rampage. This is going to be a quick stream since we only have a 1 hour show to discuss. Last week, one of my concerns was for last week's show that I kind of was afraid that it would be a throwaway episode of AEW Rampage. And I recall really enjoying last week's episode of AEW Rampage. It didn't necessarily feel like a throwaway episode just because we all knew that the time slot was going to be different and all of these things were going to essentially impact it. So I was afraid that the quality of the show wasn't going to be good, but it was good last week. I think today, there were some good matches that we got, including the main event, including the women's match. We had a fun opener. So we did have some good matches. But I think in terms of like top to bottom, I think that last week's episode of Rampage was a little bit better. This episode kind of felt like I could have missed it and not really missed too much. So I did kind of think that last week's episode of Rampage was just a little bit stronger than this week. But let's go ahead and see what people are saying, guys. Let's get some thoughts in here. I'm curious to see if we got any new viewers here today, especially since the time slot is very different here today. Someone wants to know about the Mission Pro show. It is tomorrow night, and you can watch that on Title Match Network, and that is taking place tomorrow night. I forget the times because of the time difference between the West Coast and I'm going to be in Texas, so they're Central Time, I believe. And so they're 2 hours ahead. I forgot if it's 7 o'clock. Yeah, I think it's 7 o'clock local time in Texas. Sorry, guys. I get my times confused when I'm traveling back and forth. But either way, I thought that let's get into the rest of this show because there's still some more stuff to get in here and talk about. All right, let's see what else. Major Blood says, I feel sorry for the guys on the West Coast. Can't be easy. It depends. It depends. Like, if you're at work and you're planning on watching the show, like, on the regular time like everybody else does, it is a little bit different. If you are like me and you know you're here and you're just pretty much my schedule is whatever's going on in wrestling, so it's not too big of a deal for me to adjust to this 2:30 time slot. But it does kind of suck when, like, last week I had to review SmackDown right afterwards, but I had like this 1 hour gap between Rampage and SmackDown, so that was a little bit like maybe not the easiest thing to do, but it was fine. It hasn't been too big of an issue. All right, so let's get into the show, everybody, because we got a couple things to talk about. So we have the return match here for, it's been a while since we've seen Death Triangle team up. As you guys all know, Rey Fénix was out due to injury. He came back, and this is their first match back together as a unit. So we had the Death Triangle take on the Butcher, the Blade, and Mark Quinn. So this opening match was really fun. I thought that it was good mainly because it had a bunch of spots. I want to give Like, every guy in this was perfectly fine, but there was one guy to me that stood out a little bit more than everybody else here today. So I feel like I want to give an extra shout out to Mark Quinn. Mark Quinn literally went out there, and to me, he was the most exciting person to watch, which is kind of crazy to say when you have guys in there like Penta and Rey Fénix, especially considering that it's Rey Fénix's, return match. I kind of would have liked a little bit more emphasis on that. But I did think that the person that kind of stole the spotlight here today was definitely Mark Quinn. So we got some good stuff in here. And also the sports entertainers of the week for this week voted on by Chris Jericho were The Butcher and The Blade. But the good stuff that I liked about this was literally everything that Mark Quinn and Rey Fénix did together. They had a really nice like lead up into this double drop kick from Mark Quinn. I thought that was really cool. I love the assisted swanton that he did to the outside. That was really great. He got some good height. It looked crisp. It looked cool. We had Kyle O'Reilly watching on the outside, taking notes, etc. Just a bunch of fun spots in this match, and double dives from Rey and Penta. The finish, we saw Pac hit his beautiful black arrow off the top rope, pins Mark Quinn, and gets the win. Afterwards, we have the House of Black. The lights go down, the House of Black comes out, the lights go down again, and the House of Black leaves. So all you got with this like confrontation between House of Black and Death Triangle, where they kind of just like stare each other off. But I love this now because I recently interviewed Brody King, and we were talking about the House of Black, and we were talking about a lot of the creative, the lights going out, the lights coming back in. And one of the things that he recently told me was that he is not a fan of the lights going out and turning them back on, because he's always worried something's going to go wrong, especially depending on the arena that he's in, if it's too dark, if he can and cannot see. And so now, like, every time they do the blackout, I'm always thinking like, damn, like, what's going to go down here? It's now in the back of my mind. It's in the back of my mind now. But either way, this was a good opening match. It was not bad. It was good. It was fine. Couple of good spots, all good stuff. Major Blood sends in a comment, says, due to various reasons, there have been many Death Triangle reunions, and obviously they were going to win. I didn't really care for this match, this Major Blood. I think the reason we didn't really care was mainly because I feel like this match was like entertaining to watch, but there's no story right now between the Butcher and the Blade and Mark Quinn, along with these guys here. So it was kind of just like a, you know, it started and you were watching it, but I don't know how much of the investment was actually devoted to this match, because I kind of felt like that a little bit. But the reason why I got invested into it was really all of the like the spots during this match. But it is sort of a forgettable match, though, unfortunately. And let's go. Doppelganger 399 says there is a secret member of the House of Black working the light switch. I love that. All right, let's go ahead and continue on from here, guys. After this, we got probably my least favorite match of the night. This was Sean Spears versus Bear Boulder. When I kind of talk about like it being a throwaway show, it's kind of matches like this that make it feel like, oh, well, this show really wasn't important, because we got like a kind of nothing match between Sean Spears and Bear Boulder. I had zero interest in this. It's interesting too, because like Sean Spears, he's part of like one of the biggest programs, you know, with MJF and Wardlow, and he is the right-hand man to MJF. But when he's not with MJF, though, he doesn't really get that much of a reaction, I feel. I feel like when it's just him by himself, the reaction from the fans, whether it's boos or cheers or whatever, it's practically non-existent. So I think that kind of like took a little bit away from it. The fact that we're barely seeing Bear Boulder. This was his first time actually doing, he was making his AEW singles debut here today. So a lot of people don't, you know, I think like a lot of people were not really expecting much from this match whatsoever. However, the match itself, there was really nothing that I even want to talk about other than the finish. The finish, I want to say that damn Bear Boulder did a really good job at getting really light for this, because Sean Spears had to pick him up to execute the C4, and he did. And Bear Boulder ain't no small guy by what, you know, he ain't no small guy, but he was able to easily lift them up, easily execute the C4 and get the win. And afterwards, he hits them with a couple of chair shots. Like, aside from the C4, there was nothing, and I mean nothing, worth talking about with this match between Bear Boulder and Sean Spears? Literally nothing. Oh, man. Scott George says any match of Sean Spears is a bad match. I don't feel like that. I do like Sean Spears, and I do like a lot of his work. It's just that this wasn't it. There really wasn't anything to really grab a hold on. Like, nothing. The most thing that I was impressed by was Bear getting super light for Sean Spears. But other than that, that was it. That was it. All right, let's get some more comments in here and see what people are saying. We got some interesting comments. This one is from Andrew, who says, Jeff Triangle is so talented and Mark Quinn definitely made the most of his time here, but it's taken so long to try to get this House of Black versus Jeff Triangle that the heat is gone. But I think they can get it back. I legitimately do think that they can get it back just because they're both doing really cool stuff with their characters, like the House of Black. You know, they're this unique, dark faction. And then you have Jeff Triangle that is also kind of like this dark team, but like in a different manner. So I feel because the presentations of these characters are so good, I do think that they'll get people reinterested back into the story. But this has been, you know, going on for several months now. So I don't feel like the fans are necessarily going to react to it. For example, they're not going to react to just a stare down. Like a stare down, I think it's cool when it's like two guys that you've never seen before in the ring across from each other. Like when CM Punk and Hangman Adam Page, like literally just like went at it and they were like nose to nose, forehead to forehead on this week's episode of Dynamite. Like that was cool, right? Like that was cool. But I don't think we had the exact same feeling for the House of Black and Death Triangle in this particular situation. So thank you for sending that in as well. This is from Sheldon Jackson, who says when Spears lost to Cody at All Out 2019, he lost all momentum. He definitely started off on AEW a lot differently. And now I feel like Sean Spears is more of a comedy character. He's now just like, you think Sean Spears, you think MJF. And MJF is the focal point in this. You don't really see or think of Sean Spears as Sean Spears by himself. Sean Williams says he was a good accountability buddy. I love that word. It's a hard word to say, but it's a fun word to say. Alrighty, now moving on from here, let's get into probably my favorite match of the night. And this was for the women's side of the Owen Hart Cup. We had Riho versus Ruby Soho, and this was good, I would say. And the reason this was good was because they got a good amount of time on this 1 hour show. I think they gave them a perfect amount of time. They did a lot, especially Riho. I feel like Riho, to me, she was the one that, I mean, we all knew Ruby Soho was going to be the one to advance in this tournament, but Riho was the one that I think kind of had more in this match that made her just like, it made you want to see her come out and actually win this match. So I loved it right from the beginning. We saw a lot of personality from Riho. You know, she's covering her ears. She's trying to avoid listening to Ruby Soho's theme song. We have a play on words from Chris Jericho where he says it's Riho versus Ruho. Yeah, Ruho. So a mixture of Ruby Soho put together for Ruho. I thought that was really funny. There were some good moments in this. They kept it hard hitting. You saw Ruby Soho drive Riho's face knees first, like literally with her knees. She drives Riho's face into the turnbuckle. I really like that spot. Ruby getting in a headbutt. Some nice bridge work from Riho. Nice crucifix bomb from Riho. Eventually, we end up seeing Ruby Soho get the win. But I think they did enough in this match to kind of get you, like, interested. This was good stuff, man. I feel like, again, we all knew Ruby was going to end up getting the win here, but a part of me would have kind of liked to have been surprised and seen Riho get the win here, because I feel like now they've kind of put Riho in this spot where if they need like a good competitor, they'll put her in there, but I don't really feel like they give her many wins, and I don't feel like they really portray her as somebody that is going to be like, they kind of keep her in the same spot. Like she hasn't like gone above that spot anymore. And so I would have liked to be like pleasantly surprised, because I feel like right now these tournaments, you know, I'm talking about so many tournaments, right? I feel like some of these have been like surprising results, like with Darby Allin losing to Jeff Hardy, that was surprising. So the surprising results are kind of cool, but at the same time, I don't know. I would have really liked to see Riho take this one, honestly. I really would have. Let's see what we got, though. We need to bring in the actual bracket here. Wrong bracket. Wrong bracket. Wrong bracket again. Here we go. This is the... No, that's the wrong bracket, too. Oh, Jesus. All right, let's update this bracket here, guys. I knew I had it in here somewhere. I do like a million shows. And right now I'm also talking about the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. We have the men's tournament. And then I have the updated bracket for the women's tournament. All right, here we go. This is it. So this is the updated one. And it's still not fully updated because they didn't give us, like, on Rampage today, they didn't show us, like, a completed bracket. But let me explain what's going on here. All right, so we got Toni Storm advancing. That's cool. We already knew that. Ruby Soho advanced today, defeating Riho. Now, in the bottom, you have Red Velvet and question mark. That was originally Hikaru Shida. However, today during the Jade Cargill and the Baddie segment, they announced that Hikaru Shida is no longer going to be part of this tournament because she got injured in that street fight in which she did with Serena Deeb. So now she's out of the tournament. So today when they had the baddies and Jade Cargill speak, they announced that Chris Statlander would be the person facing Red Velvet. So now we're getting Red Velvet versus Chris Statlander. So my whole thing here is, when it was Red Velvet versus Hikaru Shida, I really wasn't sure who they were going to give the win to, because I thought, okay, if they want to keep pushing the story with the baddies, they might want Red Velvet to win here. But then I thought, okay, well, what if they Hikaru Shida is just on another level than Red Velvet? So I figured Hikaru Shida would take that. Now that we have Chris Statlander facing Red Velvet, I kind of hope that they do have Red Velvet win this, because I would like to, excuse me, not Red Velvet, Chris Statlander. I would like Chris Statlander to defeat Red Velvet so that we can get Chris Statlander versus Ruby Soho, because I think Chris Statlander versus Ruby Soho would probably be a better match than Red Velvet versus Ruby Soho. So I'm going for Chris Statlander versus Ruby Soho, and I have a feeling it's going to be Ruby Soho in the actual finals of this tournament for the right side of the bracket. Again, with Dr. Britt Baker and the Joker, it's still so hard to tell because we still don't know who the Joker is, but I am expecting the Joker to win regardless, and I do think it's going to be Tony and the Joker in the finals. And I don't know if they're going to have Tony go all the way or if they're going to have the Joker all the way, but I have a feeling that the Joker spot for the women is going to go a little bit further than perhaps maybe the males, but who knows? We got a super chat today from DarfSteven77. Thank you so much for sending this in. He says, we can't have a podcast party without a super chat. Have fun coming to Texas. And thanks for all that you do, Denise. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys. Again, today's a very short stream. Super chill since we're just talking about Rampage. But next week, I will be back on Tuesday to talk about NXT 2.0. And then Wednesday for AEW Dynamite, May 18th, it is my birthday. So it's going to be a birthday party stream. So hopefully that's when we get more super chats rolling in. Wink, wink. Just kidding. But anyway, so that'll be the birthday stream on the 18th. Thank you so much, though, for sending this in and getting things spiced up a little bit here on the show. All right, now let's go ahead and continue on from here. We got a comment from Phantom FTW. Says, Denise, have you seen what Sheeta just tweeted? Don't think anyone told her the plans to write her out. I did not see what Sheeta just tweeted. If you want to send me what she tweeted, go ahead and send it in. But this was already out there, guys. This was a tape show. So, like, the news that Sheeta was going to be replaced was, like, already out there for, like, days. Like, if you saw the spoilers, you already knew. And then on top of that, like, you know, they're saying she's injured. She's obviously got to get replaced in this tournament. But no, I did not actually see her actual tweet or what she said here. And this is a comment from Kami Kodo, who says, in regards to his opinions on the tournament, says, same, because Riho is great but stagnant, and Ruby winning won't get her over like a good run and storyline would. And so let's get some more comments here and see what people are saying. Amir F says he still believes that it's going to be Britt versus Ruby. I don't think they're going to have Britt defeat the Joker, only because you don't want the Joker to come in, make a debut. You know, let's say it's Athena. You don't want her to come in and lose on her debut. I mean, unless she gets screwed, then okay, but you don't want her to essentially lose in her debut. Alrighty, now let's go ahead and continue on. So it turns out that we now have the Acclaimed and the Gun Club. They are officially a new stable, and their stuff to me is so confusing. Like, I didn't get the whole like joke that they made the last time that they did. We had like a whole discussion about that here on this show. I was like, okay, I thought one thing, and then it ended up being an entirely different thing. But it looks like we're keeping that going. Today's backstage segment was better than the last one that they had. I thought it was a little bit funnier because Billy Gunn's telling the Gun Club and the Acclaimed that, first of all, that they're a new stable and that, you know, he's been coming up with some ideas. And so he tells them, like, okay, like, let's talk about like some hand gestures. Like, what do you want to do? And the Gun Club is pretty much pitching all of the DX ideas. They're, you know, wanting to pitch the crotch chop. And Billy Gunn's like, nah, like, let's not do that. So then the Acclaimed pitches the scissoring thing, and I don't want to do the scissoring thing here on this podcast, but that's what they did. And so Billy Gunn's like, okay, great. So clearly, unless I'm missing something, I don't get the scissoring stuff. I don't get why it's funny for this particular story. I'm not sure if this is something where I had to watch, you know, Being the Elite or something like that. But if you're not watching these additional shows, I feel like it may be going over some people's head as to why they're focusing so much on the scissoring stuff if you're not watching some of the outside shows. So I do kind of wish that they would maybe explain that a little bit, because I feel like it's supposed to be funny, but it's not coming across funny to everybody. It's coming across as a little bit like cheesy, right? And then afterwards, we got the he basically says like, oh, we need to come up with a with a quote, with something to say, a phrase, a say. And so again, they want to do, the Gun Club wants to do a DX phrase, and Billy Gunn's like, nope, that's never going to get over. Let's do, the Acclaimed pitches, yo, listen. So they're going to go with that. Yo, listen. Fine. This was funny. This was cute. Then afterwards, he ends it by basically telling them that they got a match. And they're like, oh, is it on Rampage? Nope. Is it on Dynamite? Nope. Is it on Double or Nothing? Nope. It's on Mondays. Dark Elevation or Dark. And they're like, yeah, like if they just scored tickets to the Super Bowl. So they were really, really excited about that. So this was cute. This was funny. It got off to like a weird start, but now it's starting to get put together a little bit more. I was curious at first to see, like, when they said that they were going to be a stable, like what their personalities were going to be like together, because I really like the Acclaimed just together as a unit, as a tag team, just them two together, because they're so fun with Max Caster coming out and rapping and all of this. But I do feel that the Gun Club probably benefits a lot more having the Acclaimed join up with them to do something all together. I just feel it adds more to their personality. So this whole thing came across like, honestly, this came across like goofy teenage boys. I know they're not teenagers, but that's essentially how it came across. Like goofy teenage boys having good old boy time fun. But we got a super chat here. Thank you so much to Bradley Sees It Live. Bradley says, as someone who never sees you live due to being in the UK, come back, do more stuff with Cultaholic, please, heart. Thank you so much for sending in this very generous super chat. And yes, I love all the guys at Cultaholic. Shout out to Ross and Tom, who are very, very nice. And if they'll have me, I'll definitely pop in and do some more stuff with Cultaholic. But thank you so much. I was curious too, because this is a different time slot for me on F4W Online. So I was curious to see what the turnout was going to be and if I was going to be seeing any new faces, etc. All of that good stuff. But thank you so much to Bradley Season Life for being very generous and sending in this very lovely comment here. And let's go ahead and see what else we got here. Let's see what we're saying. Andrew says the Acclaimed are so charismatic. More of them on TV is a good thing. Let's see what else we got. And yes, guys, I get that the scissoring thing is like a R-rated thing, but I just don't get what it pertains to their character. Like, why are they so obsessed with the scissoring stuff? That's the part that I don't get. I'm aware of the scissoring stuff. I'm just not like, what's the backstory of this? I need a backstory. That's what I'm asking people. What's the backstory here? We have a question here from Juan Ortega who says, hey, Denise, question for you. While at Mission Pro, what shenanigans do you find yourself in backstage? Have you been twerking with La Rosa Negra? La Rosa Negra is so much fun. She has like such a like very lively personality. She's always having a good time, super nice. She's always looking out for everybody, but I have not yet twerked with La Rosa Negra. Usually backstage, honestly, I'm just working. I'm literally just working. I'm studying my notes. I'm talking to the talent. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, what they're doing so that I can make sure that I'm as prepared as I possibly can for those shows. So it may sound a little bit boring, but I just go around and study. That's literally what I do. I study like I'm at school. So you're probably thinking like, oh, she's out there having a blast, all the girls chit-chatting. No, I'm walking around and I'm studying because I'm trying to do good in commentary. So I have to study. The only way you get better is by studying, making sure you did your research and just making sure that you're prepared and that you understand everything. Because there's a lot of information that's given to you when you do commentary, guys. Like, so much information. And it's not like I'm doing these shows on a weekly basis. I'm doing them on a monthly basis. So it's a lot of like remembering things like, oh, remembering when this person was here. Oh, you know, the storyline for this. Oh, you got to remember these tiny details from like last month. So it's a lot of information that I basically have to work through and whatnot. Alrighty. And now Jack Yo says, no backstory. It's just juvenile fun. See that? Okay, that's exactly what I needed to know. Like, is this just, it's supposed to be funny because scissoring is funny, or is there an actual backstory? See, like, that was my whole thing. Like, that's my whole question. And then let's go ahead and continue it on from here. Andrew Cook says, Denise is all work, no twerk. Dude, that needs to be a slogan. All work, no twerk. Oh my God. Yeah. But no, seriously, guys, in all of my like workcation stuffs, I'm always working. I like when I'm going to go to Las Vegas for Double or Nothing. And I swear to you, I'm literally like, I don't even think I'm going to have like good old Las Vegas fun. I'm just going to be working. That's what I do, guys. That's what I got. That's what I do. All right. Now, moving on from this. All right. So we talked about Jade Cargill and the baddies. We already went through all of that. So the only last thing that we have to talk about here is the TNT Championship match between Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian. So, you know, former tag team partners, and now, you know, they find themselves across from each other in the ring going up for the TNT Championship. I want to say, okay, so first and foremost, this match was good. This was a good, solid match, guys. Both guys, you know, butting heads from the very beginning. I liked that. We had Sammy and Ty Conti watching on the outside. We saw Scorpio Sky hit a very nice Topicon Hero. Nice leg drop from Frankie Kazarian. Really cool cutter from Frankie as well. What we really need to talk about, though, is the swerve that we got at the end of this match. I freaking love this swerve. At first, I thought, like, man, the ending to Rampage is going to be, like, a little bit generic. But then with everything that they added at the end, I thought was the cherry on top of this. The cherry on top of the show, I thought it was really good what they did here. So let me explain what happened. So during this match, we see Dan Lambert running in and he starts arguing with the referee. We then see Scorpio Sky is like literally locked into a chicken wing by Frankie Kazarian. And during this, we see Ethan Page run in and he hits Frankie Kazarian with the bout, knocking him down. So this allows Scorpio Sky to get the win. Now, the whole thing here was that Scorpio Sky did not want assistance from Frankie, from Dan Lambert or Ethan Page. He did not want their help whatsoever. And even commentary was like putting over the fact that like, dude, he didn't want the help. Wait till he finds out. You know, this is not how Scorpio Sky wanted things to go. And then afterwards, Frankie Kazarian starts telling him like, dude, like this is what happened. Like I got hit in the head with the bout. And so Scorpio Sky's like, is this true? And Ethan Page is like, yeah, it's true, but we just wanted to win the match. What's wrong with you? This and that. So you see this confrontation between Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. And at this moment, I'm thinking, maybe they want to break up Scorpio Sky from Ethan Page and Dan Lambert, the whole Men of the Year stuff, I was thinking, okay, maybe they're going to break them up so that he could reunite with Frankie Kazarian so that when they do the LA shows, they can have like their big like LA moment, you know, like their big babyface LA pop, right? Like that's what I was thinking. Then, so I completely fell for this. Like I completely thought that Scorpio Sky was going to be done with Ethan Page, and I was very excited about it. But then out of nowhere, it's like a spark. It just like things changed. And all of a sudden we see Scorpio Sky turn around and he just like smacks Frankie Kazarian in the face with the championship bout. And I was legitimately surprised by that because I fell for this. I fell for Scorpio Sky arguing with Ethan Page, and turns out that this whole time it was a plan and their plan essentially worked. So I was surprised by this. I loved this swerve. I thought that it made Scorpio Sky come off as an even bigger heel, that for a tiny moment he was able to fool us all into thinking that he was a good guy and that he wanted to win on good terms, etc. And like I said, again, with the LA shows coming up, I really thought that they were going to do that, but they didn't. So I liked that I was pleasantly surprised and that this ended up being something unexpected. Now, lastly, we had Ty and Sammy running in and kind of helping out Frankie Kazarian, but that was it. That was the end of AEW Rampage. Let's go ahead and see what we got here. This is from Trav, who says, Sammy's still a heel, one little save enough, goodwill. This is one of the things I did want to talk about. Like, he came in and he did the save for Frankie Kazarian, but because they're heels. Like, that's it. Like, they're heels. Like, I know that they're not supposed to be heels, but they are heels based on everything that's happened. They are heels. So I was a little bit like, man, they really gave them this like babyface spot, even though they're technically heels. I was expecting them now just to continue playing those heel roles. So the fact that they came in and did the save for Frankie Kazarian was a little bit surprising too, especially because they kind of didn't get a reaction either. Like, I don't feel there was much reaction to Sammy and Ty coming in because they did a babyface thing when they are indeed heels. So there you go, guys. That was pretty, that was a pretty decent main event. I had a good time talking about it. Let's see what people are saying here. This is a comment from Juan Ortega who says, dude, that cutter that Kaz did on Sky, spiked Scorpio, sixth spot. Completely agree with that. And we got people putting over that this was a very good match. Let's see what else we got here. This is from Andrew, says it was a really good competitive match, but with the swerve at the end, are they still having Men of the Year feuding with heel Sammy? Don't we need something to cheer for in this feud? The crowd's not cheering for Sammy and Ty. They're not going to cheer for Men of the Year. This is one of the situations where we don't really have a strong baby face here, guys. Separately, it's weird, but separately people will cheer for, like, Sammy will get cheers because he does like all of this cool stuff in his matches and he'll get like positive reactions. Ty Conti on her own, she gets cheered, but together it ain't happening, guys. It ain't happening. And this is from MCASPedo64, who brings up a good point, says, don't think they were saving Kaz, just pissed at Lambert and Ego. Yeah, you can argue that too as well, but considering that Frankie Kazarian was there, throw that in there. Alrighty, guys, there you go. That was AEW Rampage. This was a very quick stream. I thank you guys so much for coming in during this hour, especially because, again, I'm not on at this normally at this time. But I hope you guys enjoyed this quick recap, this quick rundown of AEW Rampage, the May 13th edition. I will be back next week, Tuesday for NXT, Wednesday for AEW Dynamite, my birthday stream. Friday next week, I will not be here because I will be out of town. I am going on vacation, so I will not be here next Friday, but I will see you here Tuesday and Wednesday. Until next time, everybody, have a great weekend. Bye, everyone.